9, chapter number 2. We'll try not to hold you very long tonight. Exodus chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Let's catch up. Let's get up just a little bit higher. First chapter. Verse number 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel. That's enough to preach there, isn't it? Brother Billy Ray Hudson from Arkansas preached at Allentown this year on the devil has a full-time job. Helping the people of God. The more they afflicted them, the more they grew. He said, the devil, amen, has made me somewhat what I am today by bringing evil into my life, but God intended it for good. The devil thought he was going to destroy me, but God just made me stronger. Amen. Whoa, that's enough to make the Methodist shout, isn't it? Amen. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Amen. The greater the task come on them and the greater the burdens, the better they become and the more they grew. So Pharaoh said, I've got to put a stop to them and kill the sons of every man and woman that was born, the Hebrew children. Verse 13, and the Egyptian made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their services wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Amen. Verse number 16. Amen. And he said, when you do office of a midwife to the Hebrew children, women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then you shall save him alive. She shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men of the children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, you got to get all this now, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Pharaoh has set a task out for his men and his midwives. As they help the Hebrew women have children, if the baby comes out a little boy, you destroy that boy. You kill him. You cast him into the river. The more we afflict them, the greater they're becoming. And Pharaoh knew that if he did not stop them from multiplying, that one day they would get bigger than he was. So he said, we've got to stop the birth of any male child. We can have nothing but the women, because the male, no children can be born. Amen. And so that is the plan of Pharaoh, the plan of the enemy. Amen. But now watch this, chapter 2, verse number 1. I want to preach from these lines. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took the wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son when she saw him that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me. I'll give thee thy wages." And the mother took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. Stretch your hand this way. Say, "Holy Ghost, help that preacher." Raise both your hands and ask God to touch you tonight. Oh, sweet power of God, we ask you to move in this building among everybody, upon everybody's soul. Bring us out tonight. Touch us, God. Move in our souls in this service. God, help us to have revival tonight. Help us, oh God, to come out from among the discouragement, the fear, the failures, God, the past mistakes, oh God, and say, "Here I am. Use me, oh Lord," in spite of all that the devil would try to bring upon the children of thy. Oh God, help every one of us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and wax great in thy sight, God, and do exploits. Oh Spirit of God, we ask you to fall on every one of these young men, every one of these young women, God, and make them men and women of you, God, that they may do great things in days to come. Oh Spirit of God, we ask you right now, oh Lord, to search our hearts and search our lives, oh God, and move in this building and help every one of us, God, to be willing to say yes to your call and yes to your will and yes to your way. Oh Spirit of God, that we'd be willing to set ourselves apart and sanctify, amen, unto thee, oh God. Please move in spite of all the powers of hell to stop the birth of children, God. God, help us to raise in this hour young boys and girls for thy kingdom. And great God, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' lovely name. And the church said, amen and amen. I was just praying, asking the Lord for the message tonight, and it seemed like I just couldn't grasp, amen, exactly. I felt what God was dealing with me, in what way, and this is the way I felt like the Lord sent me to go. The Bible said that Pharaoh in his anger, amen, seeing that the more they put burdens on them, the more they grew. So therefore Pharaoh was trying to find a way to stop the growth of Israel. He's trying to find a way to keep them, amen, from getting any bigger or any greater than what the Hebrew children were already. So he makes this plan. He says, "I tell you what I'll do." He says, "I'll take these boys, I'll take the midwives, and I'll get them to slay every male child, every boy child that's born. I'll get them to get rid of them, so therefore they cannot be born, and they cannot grow, and they cannot reproduce themselves." Amen. So therefore, the plan is on, and it looks like the plan is working. Amen. They're slaying all the male child, and they're getting rid of them, and amen, just the young ladies are being born and growing. But out of all the midst of this, and out of the devil's plan or Pharaoh's plan, out of the enemy's plan, out of all the
male children, amen, that Pharaoh's people slayed. Amen, there was a few boys, amen, who escaped the plan of the devil. Amen, glory to God. Amen, the devil intended, and the enemy intended, amen, to stop the plan of God. But right in the midst of the devil's plan, God got one escaped. Amen. So tonight I want to preach just a little while on escaping the devil's plan. Escaping the devil's plan. Oh, glory. You're going to help me tonight, aren't you? Amen. You see, amen, there's the devil of hell, and everything that he's got has let loose every power that he can find in the depths of hell against the church. That's why we're facing things like we've never faced before. Amen. That's the reason why the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And me and Brother Rick was talking, and he said, even the Bible said, and we shall increase with knowledge. And people have got so much knowledge that they don't retain God in their knowledge. Come on now. Amen. And I believe as this homosexuality on every corner, on everywhere you look. Amen. Come on now. Amen. The problems and the powers of hell is trying to stop the growth of the church. But I want to tell you here tonight, in spite of all the hell, there's going to be a few young boys and girls that's going to escape the hand of the enemy, and that's going to be saved, sanctified, and full of power of the Holy Ghost. In spite of the compromise of this independent holiness movement, come on now, amen, across America, there's some young people, amen, that's going to escape the plan of the enemy, and that's going to rise up and say, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Amen. I'm going to hold on to holiness. I'm going to hold on to my heritage. I'm going to hold on to sanctification. I'm going to hold on to what's right. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to back down. But I'm going to live right in spite of everything. Raise your hands and give God, amen, glory. Woo! Woo! The devil don't like this, but I do. I said the devil don't like this, but I do. When I get to realizing he can't touch me, he can afflict my body only if he is allowed to. Come on now. When you get to looking at it from the book of 1 Job chapter 1, amen, it brings a different light on affliction. It brings a different light on trouble. Amen. For the devil had to come before God and say, God, will you give me the permission to do such and such? God, would you let me do this? And God, would you let me do that? And please. The devil said, if you'll let me mess with Job, I'll bring him down. I'll make him curse you to your face. God smiled and said, go right ahead, devil, but you ain't going to get Job to back down. You're not going to get Job to backslide. Come on now. I don't know about you, amen, but it makes me feel good to know that there ain't nothing the devil can do to me unless he's got permission to do so. Amen. And if he has to get permission, then when God says it's enough, he's got to stop what he is doing. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. I want to tell you, in spite of all the trouble you may face, and in spite of all the trouble that the devil may bring on you young boys, amen, you young girls that's just getting in and just getting established, in spite of all the hell that I've tried its best to stop you, amen, when God says it's enough, it is enough. Amen. Go right on a shouting. Go right on a praying. Go right on a living right. There ain't nothing the devil can do to stop the mighty hand of God. And when God says something, it cannot be stopped. No matter how bad hell wants to stop it and pull it down, when God said it, it's going to happen. Look over at somebody and say, he can't touch me. Well, preacher, I'm flat, sore, sick.
Well, they must have permission. And when God said, it's enough. It's enough. Woo! And I love to shout, because when I get to shout and I'm in the Spirit, I know there ain't nothing the devil can do at that time. Come on now, help me while I preach. One little bitty old woman come walking in. Amen. She come in crippled. She had muscular dystrophy. She come walking in, made it all the way to the second pew. And she sat down, barely made it. And when she sat down, it was the first night of that revival, and there were, amen, newcomers. The church where they were going were compromising. Amen. So they wanted, amen, to keep holiness in their family. Amen. So they started going this church right there. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, we got to singing, I've never been this home sick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. That little old woman that come in here, about 60 something years old, doing this number, all of a sudden her limbs straightened out, her feet straightened out. She made about 7 trips around that church, her running. Woo! The 7th time come by the pulpit and smiled real big at me. Come on now and sit down. Amen. She stood up at her church. She said, y'all didn't know I could do that, did you? She said, me either. I didn't. He did. She said, and by the way, the Holy Ghost don't got muscular dystrophy. The Holy Ghost don't have troubles. The Holy Ghost don't got problems. The Holy Ghost don't got circumstances. That's why right in the middle of your situation, you don't know how you're going to make it, and the Holy Ghost comes on you and says, praise Him, worship Him. But why, Holy Ghost, look why I'm at? The Holy Ghost is saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have problems. Get up and worship God. You want to know why? Because the Holy Ghost knows the plan of God. You can't see past your nose what God's wanting to do. You can't see past your nose, but the Holy Ghost does. So the Holy Ghost said, go on. Holy Ghost said, keep praying. Holy Ghost said, keep working. Holy Ghost said, keep saying. Holy Ghost said, keep working. Keep praying, keep fasting, keep preaching, keep living right. Raise your hands and worship God. Oh, he shout that out. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost knows what's in store for the highway. I said the Holy Ghost knows what's in store for the highway. Oh, and I want to tell you, there ain't nothing the devil can do to stop the plan of God. There ain't nothing the hell can do to stop the hand of God. Worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. You're wondering how you're going to get out of this. Holy Ghost just keeps saying, praise Him. Worship. Go on. I can't go on. Yeah, you can. Because He don't see your problems. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Where's it going to come out? He knows. Just follow Him. Amen. One morning a young boy woke up. His daddy said, hey boy. Amen. Did you leave the gate open? No, daddy. I didn't leave the gate open. Yes, you did, son. Said, no, I didn't, daddy. Said, well, why is the donkey's gone then? Why is the, amen, the ass is missing? Why is the donkey's missing? Amen. Said, get your servant. Said, you go find them old crazy donkeys. The gate you left open, they're gone. Amen. And Saul looks at his servant and said, I promise I had put the gate closed. But what he didn't know was during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the gate and said, get out, donkeys. Get out. Come on now. So the next morning, oh, glory. Saul packs his cookies. Amen. His mama packs his lunch. And him and his servant set out to find them old crazy donkeys. And Saul looks over at his servant and said, what in the world am I doing out here for? Why am I looking for these crazy donkeys? How many's ever felt like you was looking for donkeys?
Come on here. God, why do you got my ministry here? Why do you got my ministry doing this? And you're just the one around looking at them crazy. And you're complaining and grumbling and saying, why am I doing that here? Woo! And God had you looking for them donkeys all the time. I want to tell you, amen, when God sets things in motion, amen, don't grumble, don't complain. Put your nose and say, yes, Lord, whatever you say, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go that way.
All of a sudden, they looked through all the plains. I couldn't find them old crazy donkeys. And right in the middle of nowhere, amen, they all looks over at the servants and says, you know, Daddy's probably looking for us. We better go home. Said, we can't find them donkeys. We better go home. Woo! And servants said, hold it. The man of God is somewhere around here. Said, we can find him. He knows where they're at. He knows where they're at. Amen. And so Saul says, okay, let's go. And so they went walking. And they stopped off by the well where a lady was getting her some water. And it said, do you know where the man of God is? She said, yes, sir. Today's your day. Said, he's headed to that mountain over yonder. And if you just keep on walking, you might find him somewhere. And some of you wondering what to do, and this little preacher come to tell you now, just keep on walking. Just keep looking for them old donkeys. It may look like a foolish job, but God's got you there for a reason.
I'm going to preach to you, young folk. Young girls, just keep right on walking. He'll hit you smack dab in the face in a little while. Come on here now. Keep on walking, boys. Don't you settle for the first thing that says, I love you. Come on, don't you settle for the first thing that says, it's God's will. Come on here, help me while I preach. Woo! Amen, come on. Amen, you can go some places and everybody knows God's will for you except you. Amen, come on here. It's this. Ain't it amazing? It's God's will for five different people for my life. Come on here, help me while I preach. Ain't that, come on here. Don't get too quiet on me here tonight. I want to tell you, amen, if you come on, if you dating somebody who don't pray in the altar, leave him. If you're dating somebody who don't worship God, leave them. If you're dating somebody who don't amen wholeness preaching, leave them. Come on, because if they don't do it now, they won't do it after you say I do. Hey, come on here, help me while I... come on here. You would rather be single, amen, and have the opportunity, amen, than to be married and be messed up. Say amen, mamas and daddies. Don't fall out with me tonight. Stick your fingers in ears. Amen. You may not like this. Amen. But I want to tell you. Amen. I don't understand all that is about marriage and divorce. That's between God and the people. Amen. Come on now. Amen. My mama's on her third. And, amen. I don't understand all it is to understand. Amen. But I do preach this way to the young folks. Amen. When you walk down that aisle, amen, and you look at her and say, I do. It better not be just because you love her. You better know it's God's will. Here, help me while I preach. Amen. I've talked to young girls who's messed their lives. Amen. They'd say, I said, why did you marry him? She said, because I loved him. I said, well, what did the Spirit of God say about it? Come on here, help me while I preach. If you got to slow down to get you one, amen, leave him sitting on the side of the road. If you got to slow down to get you, leave her sitting on the side. Find you one that's running right along beside you. That's a running for God. Don't take time. Just stop on the sideline. He'll mess you up. Oh, come on here. She'll mess you up. Hey, it ain't like trading cars. Just because you don't like them, you can trade you in and get you another one. Come on here. When you say I do, come on here. You can't just leave them because, amen, they don't treat. Come on. Amen. Well, I don't like this one. Let me give me another one. You can't do it. You can't do it in spite of the way this other generation has acted. Amen. Made us think. Amen. Daddy said, well, amen, if this one left, wouldn't matter. Come on now. Well, it does matter too. Come on here. Hallelujah. Mama said, you better get the right one. Because if she leaves you, she said, I know you won't get married again. Come on now. Because you have to preach. Amen. She said, I'll have to do something to take care of it. Hallelujah. I want to tell you here tonight. Amen. I know this is a touchy subject. Amen. But we need to preach it to our young boys and our young girls, the importance of marriage. And I want to tell you, you don't love five different people in a lifetime. You see, the devil wants to mess your life up before God can do His will in your life. If the devil can get your life messed up, he'll do it. I'm preaching out on escaping the plan of the devil. Come on here, help me while I preach. My pastor's wife stood in Sunday school one day. Amen. Crying, weeping. She said, when I was 16 years old, said there was a young preacher in our church. Said, boy, he loved me. And said, I loved him. And said, one day he picked me up and said, from school every day. And she said, the Lord spoke to me that day and said, he's going to ask you to marry you. Marry him. And said, you tell him I said no. Woo! And sure enough, she said, where are we going? He said, to your mama's house. What for? Amen. She said, you fisna asked me to marry you, ain't you? She said, well, I done come to tell you it's no. God told me no. Come on. She said, everybody in the church said, you crazy. You crazy. He's got money coming out of his ear. Come on here. Woo! He's a preacher. He'll make something for you. Amen. She said, God said no. Amen. So she waited a few years until she met a skinny boy who was bashful, who couldn't hardly talk, worth nothing. Come on now. Wow! God saved him, sanctified him, filled him with the Holy Ghost. They started dating. Amen. God put them together. And the day they husband and wife, she said, I may have to live poorer than what I could have if I'd have married him. But I'd be a messed up woman here. I want to tell you, the devil's got men and boys and girls, amen, that'll try to destroy God's will in your old glory. Help me. Well, I pray that I want to tell you tonight, don't you do it until you heard from heaven. Amen. Come on here now. The devil's a trying to mess your life up. He is a trying to corrupt the will of God. But keep right on a walking. Keep right on a looking for them donkeys. God will bring it to pass.
I'd rather be 40 and still be traveling by myself. Going to be married to the wrong woman. Come on here. Escaping the devil's plan. I got to hurry. Y'all ready for me to quit? Preacher, you done meddling now. You done went to preaching to meddling. No. Amen. I know we don't like to talk about it, but it's something we need to talk about. I said it's something we need to talk about, because I've seen too many young girls whose lives are messed up. Come on here. Are wrecked tonight because somebody didn't tell them. Somebody know. Somebody could have told them and they just thought they were in love. Come on now. Amen. Brother Greg, preach. I think I will. Thank you. Amen. I want to tell you here tonight, that devil's trying to stop us. He's trying to get rid of men and women that he can use. But I want to tell you tonight, boys, as long as you stay in this order, like you've been praying, there ain't a devil in hell can stop you. Oh, hallelujah. He's trying his best to. Amen. But you just smile and say, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And he tells me to stop, I'll stop. But right now he's telling me to go, 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 go. Here he is. Saul's with his servant. They're here looking. They stop by the well. Here comes brother. Amen. Samuel. Come on, brother Collins. He's coming from over yonder. Amen. Oh, glory. And the Bible said in the day before, God whispered in Samuel's ear and said, tomorrow you're going to find a young boy. And said he's going to be looking for his daddy's donkeys. Said when you find him, said anoint him king. Because he's the one I'm going to use. Come on here, help me while I preach. Y'all please don't sit on me. Amen, because of what I've been preaching. Amen. Samuel kept walking. Here goes Samuel. And while Samuel's walking, here comes Saul and the servant. Amen. Samuel's headed up to that mountain out of the middle of nowhere. Boom! They run into one another. Amen. And Saul looks at Samuel and says, can you tell me where the man of God is? Amen. And Samuel looks at him and said, I am him. Who are you? Well, I lost my daddy's donkeys. Woo! I lost my daddy's donkeys. Amen. Yesterday. And I've been looking for them crazy things. And my servant said, you would know where that. Amen. Samuel said, uh-huh. Amen. And Samuel took Saul by the hand. They walked. He said, you going to eat with? Saul said, all I wanted was daddy's donkeys. I didn't want to go eat with you. Amen. He set him down. And he said, Saul, you the man. You the man. You the man. I'm wanting to use. Come on here. And watch. Started out as a simple journey for a bunch of donkeys, ended up the will of God for Saul's life. Tonight. Well, preacher, amen, I don't want to do this. I'm not getting recognition. Well, if you can't be faithful to the home church, you'll never get used anywhere else. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Woo! My pastor's always preached to me. Amen. He said, if you can't ever help this church, you'll never help another church in America. Come on. So I stayed there until I won the confidence of the people. Woo! And now when I go home, I can preach and they love me and I love them. And God's helping us. Amen. But I want to tell you, you've got to be faithful in the days of the donkey hunting business before God can ever use you. Young preacher walked up. He's older than me. Walked up to me and said, Brother Greg, how do you get started evangelizing? I said, well, when did you preach your first message? He said, I hadn't. I said, you haven't? He said, no, sir, I'm just getting started. He said, I want to get out and preach revivals. I said, I want to tell you something, buddy. I said, my pastor told me, if you got to start preaching in the home church, for God can never use you anywhere else. And you see, young folks, let me preach to you just a minute. Paul Blanton come by my church, preached revival a few years ago. That night was one of them dead, dry services. And Brother Paul preached about 45 minutes, and it was quiet and dead and no movement. I mean, the altar service didn't last probably 10 minutes. He preached something that night that has shook me ever since. He preached on overcoming boredom. Overcoming boredom when there ain't nothing going on and you still got to keep coming to church. Come on, that devil don't like this. Come on, and most of you young folks admit to me, when it gets hard to serve God is when you get bored, when revival ain't going on and the preacher ain't preaching quite as high. It's just bored. You come to church and you go home and everybody else is partying and doing their things and you're bored. Woo! Saul said, this is a boring job out here looking for these donkeys. But I want to tell you, when you're faithful in the bored times, God will use you in the high times. Oh, I feel like preaching. Amen. That's where the devil whoops us. He gets us bored. He tells us there ain't no fun in serving God. Come on, help me while I preach. Somebody looked at me and said, Brother Greg, I love being around you. I said, why? I said, why I'm being around? They said, because you're happy. Come on, there's a lot of times I'm a smiling and a joking on the outside. Amen. But in the inside, I am bored. Come on, I am lonely. I'm fighting a battle. Amen. But when I walk out of my bedroom, I say, put a smile on, boy. Amen. Act like you're happy. Don't let the devil know. Come on here now. And when I step in the pulpit, amen, I want to let you know, especially when I'm around sinner young people, I want them to know that the Christian life is the happiest life. It is the best life. Hallelujah. And you can serve God if you want to serve God. Amen. Just because mom and daddy ain't where they need to be, ain't no excuse. Come on now. Woo! Amen. Because on Sunday mornings, when I could have stayed in bed and was wore out, amen, I set my own clock, woke my own self up at 8 o'clock, got my own shower, went there and said, Mama, wake up, go to church with me. Come on now, help me while I preach. You talking about some bored times, but Paul Blanton said, overcoming boredom. And every time I get bored, I'd remember that message, and I'd say, yes, Lord, I can overcome boredom. If I can just wait this thing out, I'll overcome boredom. Come on. And that devil will try to get you so bored to stop the plan of God. But you just say, devil, I may be bored right now, but if I'll hold on, I'll be happy. Yeah. Happy. Yeah. Happy. Yeah. I played football till I was, amen, got saved, started preaching. Amen. My coach said, boy, if you'll stay with me, I can do something with you. And I said, sorry, I found something more precious than that ball. And before time, I only loved it, walk it, talk it. I done told you. But on Friday night at revivals, we'd go to Shawnee's and there would be all that football crowd. And all my football buddies. And I'd walk in there. I want to tell you, Sister Linda Harper, no matter how bored I might have felt on the inside, when I walked in that Shawnee's, I turned my head up not to look down on them. And I went to every one of them and smiled, just like I was the happiest boy on the face of the earth. Ooh, come on here now. The times when all the young folks are backsliding, you're the only one standing. Come on here now. When you're the only quiet, you're only the one of the few who's trying to hold on, you can overcome boredness. Oh, I know this ain't no high message right now, but I want to tell you, if you could ever overcome boredom, when you get bored, say, God, I'd rather be bored than live the life of sin. I'd rather be bored and know you got your hand in my hand. I'd rather be bored and know the Spirit of God's leading me. Come on here now, because He'll give you a pleasure, amen, just for a few moments. And when He gets through with you, the pleasure's gone. Come on now. How do you know that, preacher? I've got a backslid brother who parties to 2 o'clock in the morning. Come on now. But when he comes home, he'll call me wherever I'm at. He didn't say, talk to me. I said, brother, I'm going to bed, Brad. It's time to go to bed. He'll say, talk to me. I say, Brad, I'm going to bed. I got to get some sleep. Amen. You don't know why. Because when the partying's over and the friends are gone, come on now, and you lay in that bed at night, amen, that pleasure of happiness was only for a moment. And then you're really bored. And I want to tell you, bored without God is one of the most miserable places you can ever be. So I'd rather be bored and have God. Hallelujah. Amen. And be going to the dry spell than to be bored without God. The sad thing, preaching on it, sometimes you don't see the results. Only eternity tells. But if Eddie somehow or another, I could help you this week and a half, that 20 years from now, Eddie be preaching the gospel or missionary in some foreign country, he'd stand up and say, I escaped the plan of the enemy. I escaped the plan of the devil. Boy, we was talking the other day, and Sister Peggy made a statement, amen, that just shook me. She said, me and Jim ain't nothing but bus kids. Come on here. We were nobodies. Woo! She said, but God saved us. And she said, as a child, I put it in my heart to serve the Lord. And even though I might have got out at one time, she said, it was always in my heart to serve God. I've always wanted to serve Him. I was nothing but a, come on, bus kid. Woo! Come on here.
Oh, but you escaped the plan of the devil. Come on here, help me while I preach. And it may be looking like you're looking for donkeys right now, but you'll meet with Samuel after a while. Come on here, hallelujah. Woo! I wasn't even a bus kid. Come on now, I wasn't a no kid, but Jesus found me. And I'm telling you, you know what Jesus is doing tonight? He's at the highway. He's looking for boys that he can use. He's looking for young girls that he can use, that he can put his spirit in and make men and women of God out of them.
I'm just about finishing just a little bit. Amen. When Moses was born, it was just a regular birth. Woo! Amen. When men of God are born, it was just regular births. Amen. Nothing spectacular. Amen. But God was a raising up a man of God. Hallelujah. Well, preacher, amen, my mom and daddy don't come to church or they don't preach or nothing like that. I want to tell you, neither did Moses' people. His mom and daddy didn't have a name in this chapter. They got a name later on in the book of Exodus, but here they didn't have a name. Come on now. But God picked the little boy up who had a regular birth and used him mightily. Come on now, they come into the world with little commotion. But when God gets a hold of them, they rock the world. Come on here now. Help me while I preach it. And Brother Rick preached it today. He said, I'll tell you what, talking about druggies and stuff. He said, but hold it. And he sat down talking about homosexuals. They're reprobate. They don't retain God in their knowledge. And he went on, he said, but hold it. That sounds like they ain't no hope in it. He said, but wait, let me read you another scripture. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Neither fornicators, adulterers, idolaters. Come on now, drunkards. Infeminate. Amen. What's an infeminate person? It's a sissy. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's a man who acts like a woman. Amen. Come on. And guess what? He didn't stop there. No, he didn't. He said, but such. Amen. Don't you sit there and act like you. Amen. You miss America. You ain't never done nothing wrong. But such. Where were you at when God picked you up? When God found you and you give up on these young folks and you come on here. Amen. You give up on them. And what if somebody had to give up on you? What if somebody had not told you you better marry the right one? What if somebody hadn't told you you better pray on the altar? You'd be messed up. Hallelujah. But such were some of you. But you have been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been cleansed. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, amen, God took a few men who didn't have nothing in their pockets and turned the world upside down. Come on. And God's looking for some people tonight, amen, who we ain't got hardly nothing, to put his spirit in and bring them out and use them. Right. Brother Rick would preach a while and he'd say, but I was a rock and roller. And I was a druggie. But God delivered me. Old Rick had a regular birth, didn't he? Nobody ever thought. Amen. But when they laid that man in the ground, only eternity will show. As he walks down the streets of gold, and some of them main ones who cussed him and throwed stuff at him see old Rick's face, they'll say, Brother Rick, thank you for coming to campus. Thank you. I thought today as he walked down that hill and nobody responded today, I thought, bless his heart. I said, I thought I had it rough sometime. I said, Lord, when he gets to heaven and people start coming and saying, Rick, thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a soul who was saved. Woo, come on here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! God picked us out of the rubbish and made us what we are tonight.
I'm so glad when he goes to looking, he don't go down Millionaire Avenue, but he goes down on Skid Row. He goes down to the poorhouse. He goes down, come on here now, to a kid with a messed up home life and says, you.
And I'm just trying to close. Deacon come to the pastor. Deacon come to the pastor and said, Pastor, said all year this year we had nobody saved. Said we fixing to boat you out of the church. Nobody's got saved. And the pastor, amen, tore him up that night out of church. He is a crying. Oh Lord, said I've not had nobody saved this year. Amen. But about that time, this little boy walked in. Amen. And it was Robert. Woo! Our little Bobby was his name. And the pastor turned around and little Bobby was standing there. Little Bobby says, Preacher, do you ever think I can ever preach one of these days? Amen. The pastor turned and looked and he said, Amen, yes. And encouragement struck his heart. For little Bobby was one little boy that whole year who had gotten saved. He was the only little boy. But guess what? That boy later became known as Robert Moffat. Amen. A missionary who won thousands to Christ. Come on, help me while I preach just a minute. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Amen. There were some more stories. Amen. Now let me read them here to you. Amen. They're in the Holiness Messenger. Amen. Just shook me. Amen. He's just a boy. This is one of the world's greatest understatements. Amen. When Minner Graham looked at that tall 6'4" long-legged boy who said, Mr. Graham, can I borrow your books to study with?